This is the son of PCJ.
This is London. This is London.
The Voice of Russia World Service.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
This is the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland, with a relay transmission via Bel-Air in the Netherlands Antilles, directed to New Zealand.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
Bonjour à vous si vous nous rejoignez sur Radio France Internationale. Il est 5h à Paris.
This is Radio Ukraine International.
This is the English program of Radio Deutsche Welle, Germany's international broadcasting service.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Perron.
Hello and welcome to the program. Coming up today, we'll continue our safari in Singapore. Keith will be joining us to talk about the local radio dial in the city-state. Then, Dan Hensley of Shortwave America will join us for a propagation report. Media Network Plus, radio that will make your ears flap. First, let's take a quick look at some news from the world of media. The commercial arm of the BBC will sell a string of magazines, including the Radio Times, to a private equity group, Exponent Private Equity. The BBC announced the sale as part of its strategy to focus on video and digital services. Along with other licensing agreements and other disposals, the total price tag is £121 million, or $198 million. BBC says the majority of the proceeds would go back to the corporation. The BBC, funded by a fee paid by all households with a television, is under pressure to cut costs as part of the government's bid to slash spending. The first issue of the Radio Times was produced in 1923. London-based Bharani channel, Lua Lua TV, launched on Live Station a couple of days ago. Lua Lua literally means pearl. The channel takes its name from the roundabout that was witness to the first protests in Bahrain in February of this year until it was destroyed by the government barely 1 month later. A Bahraini expat living in London, Yasser El-Sayegh, chose the name for what he originally envisioned as a satellite channel. He intended to use it as a platform to broadcast a balanced and fair view of current affairs, exploring both governmental and opposition opinions. The satellite channel's broadcast didn't last more than 5 hours when its signal was quickly jammed. The jamming was located by Eutelsat as coming from Bahrain itself. Radio New Zealand International, RNZI, has launched a new online feature called New Flags Flying. The online service features extensive archival audio and transcripts of 17 former Pacific leaders recalling the move to independence and self-government in the Pacific. From 1960 onwards, first in Polynesia, then in Melanesia and Micronesia, colonies became nations and millions of subjects became citizens. The interviews on the website provide a unique record of Pacific history and reflect the views and memories of the most influential decision-makers of their time. The project is the work of veteran New Zealand broadcaster-writer Ian Johnstone and former New Zealand diplomat Michael Powells. It has had support from Radio New Zealand and UNESCO's Office for the Pacific States in Samoa. The Al Jazeera Media Network in Qatar is set to establish a regional news and current affairs media network in East Africa, the company said on August 8, 2011. The new network has been named the Al Jazeera Kiswahili. It will be aired in the 5 East African community partner states, including Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Burundi. Kiswahili is the most widely spoken language in East and Central Africa and is the national language of Tanzania and Kenya. Special thanks goes to Andy Sennett at the Media Network blog from Radio Netherlands Worldwide for the material used. To find out more, check out our website for a link to them. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Last week we paid a visit to the BBC Far East Relay Station in Singapore. Today we continue our radio safari, this time focusing on the domestic dial in the city-state. My first question to Keith, who spent some time there, was, what is the local radio scene like?
A place to relax. Symphony 92.4. Good music. Good life.
The best mix of music.
We're also on Facebook.
Class 95.
938 Live.
Local radio in Singapore. Well, it is probably, if not, the most competitive in all of Southeast Asia, even more competitive than Taiwan, that has many radio stations on the FM and AM dial. In Singapore, it's extremely, extremely competitive. Now, there are a total of 13 radio stations. You're talking about a population here of just over 5 million people. But those 13 radio stations, some of them are like having a radio station inside a radio station, if you follow my meaning.
I don't. What do you mean?
Well, for example, there's one radio station on the air in Singapore. It's called XFM. And they broadcast in a total of 8 different languages: Arabic, French, German, Hindi, Japanese, and Korean. And depending at what time of day you're listening to, it sounds like a different radio station. So that's what I mean. It's like having 8 radio stations in one radio station.
Wow, that's interesting. So are we talking commercial, public, state radio?
Well, radio in Singapore goes back, what I found out when I was there, 75 years. And just by accident, one morning, just after I woke up and I was having my coffee, I was tuning up and down the FM dial and came across this promo to celebrate the 75th anniversary of radio in Singapore. And it gives a little bit of the history.
Radio turns 75.
Did you know that radio transmission in Singapore began 75 years ago in 1936? Its first base of operations was from a government building at Empress Place. It was only after World War II in 1951 that we moved to Caldecott Hill at Andrew Road, a place we've called home ever since. Currently, plans are underway to move from our present location to Mediapolis, Singapore's first digital media hub located at One North. Radio's new home is expected to be completed by mid-2015.
Thank you for 75 years of friendship.
Well, just as we heard a few seconds ago, there's 75 years of broadcasting in Singapore. The main broadcasting agency or group is called Mediacorp Singapore. Now, over the last 75 years, they have gone through I don't know how many name changes. First, it was known as Radio Singapura. Then it was known as the Radio Corporation of Singapore. Then it became the Singapore Broadcasting Corporation. Then it became Mediacorp. And within that time, there were also some other name changes as well. But the main station now, the main organization, would be Mediacorp. The best way to describe Mediacorp would be like the CBC or the BBC. So under the Mediacorp umbrella, you have a number of different local radio stations and a number of different television stations. Now, the difference with Mediacorp, it's a little bit hard to describe because it's not exactly a public broadcaster, meaning getting funds from tax dollars from the public, but it's also not exactly a state broadcaster, meaning the voice of the government who's ever in power. It's sort of a mixture of two. At the same time, it's also operated like a private company. So an example would be, let's say the CBC in Canada or the BBC in the United Kingdom said, okay, we're the BBC or the CBC, but we also have to charge commercial advertising because we need to make a profit. So this is sort of the structure of the organization. And it's huge. You're thinking here, I mean, Singapore has just over 5 million people, but yet Mediacorp has within its, under its umbrella, 11 different subsidiaries. Not just television, not just radio, film production companies, advertising companies. It's huge when you think about how small the population is.
That is a very unique setup. For somebody from living in North America, at any rate, but it sounds like it works.
It does work, and it actually works quite well. The main media core building in Singapore, because everything comes out of the same building, the best way to describe it would be having, say, rows and rows and rows of studios, and each different radio station or each different service operating out of one of them. It is very unique. And I mean, don't forget, you know, Singapore is a small place. It's not that small, but it's smaller, let's say, than Belgium or the Netherlands. It is a city-state, so it would be, let's say, like Vatican City. And you think you have all this media going on in a small little area is quite astonishing. But MediaCorp does a very good job at managing it. And like I said, it's a mixture of public, state, and commercial broadcasting. But of course, the commercial aspect is extremely important because these stations need to make money. They have to make money.
So what are some of the formats? You mentioned actually just a while ago about eight languages.
The formats. Well, the formats have something for everyone. So, for example, one moment you're listening to classical music. Next minute, you're listening to jazz. And I'm talking about individual stations here. Next minute, you want to listen to, let's say, contemporary British and American top 40 music. The next minute, you can listen to music from India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. You can listen to music from France. It is all over the place. And, of course, one of the most important things that you find on every single station is a traffic report. And listening to a traffic report in Singapore is very different from, let's say, a traffic report anywhere else in the world. And I came across one, and it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Class 95's Traffic Watch.
We got slow-moving traffic on West Coast Highway towards Pasir Panjang because of the earlier accident of the vehicles occupying the right and the second right lanes near the wholesale centre. Roadworks on Bras Basah Road by the Prinsep Street Junction. A broken-down vehicle on the KGE towards the PIE before the PIE Changi exit. Roadworks on Telok Blangah Road towards Keppel Road at a slip road into Kampung Bahru Road. Also on the BKE towards the PIE before the Bukit Panjang Road exit. On Telok Blangah Road towards Pasir Panjang Road after the Henderson Road Junction. On Jurong Town Hall Road towards West Coast Road after the junction of Jurong East Avenue 1 and on the TPE towards the SLE after the Jalan Kayu flyover.
Bank on us.
For the best feel-good music.
Class 95.
Well, that does sound unusual. They're speaking in acronyms.
That's right. And acronyms are very popular in Singapore. You can have entire conversations with people just using acronyms. And as we heard in the traffic report, it's like I was taking the DVP and then I went off to the CDB and then I turned left at the VWP and then the PWX was at the XMAP and then I arrived at the airport. And somebody who's not from there will go, what was that?
Now, you mentioned something about several languages that they broadcast in as well.
That's right. The four main languages in Singapore are Chinese and English being the first two. So there are stations that are dedicated to programming in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, as well as some Cantonese at certain hours. The next language of importance in Singapore is English because most of the business in Singapore is done in English. And then, of course, you have languages from other parts of Southeast Asia. The next language, of course, that's very important in Singapore is Malay because a lot of people have Malay heritage. So Malay is one of the languages, and then you have Tamil. These are the four main ones. But then on certain stations at certain times, they change format. And all of a sudden you have Hindi, which is extremely popular. There's a very large Hindi-speaking community in Singapore. Arabic. And then you also have Vietnamese and you have Tagalog, which is actually spoken in the Philippines. So it's really a hodgepodge. And what is quite interesting, and it is actually a lot of fun, some of the stations that you listen to, let's say they say, okay, now we're saying goodbye for our listeners who speak, let's say, Hindi. We're now going to go into Vietnamese. And all of a sudden, you think that you're listening to a radio station from Vietnam because they don't just change language, but they also change styles. So if you're, let's say, from Vietnam or from the Philippines, it's almost like listening to a radio station from your home country.
You mentioned that it's FM radio, but what about AM?
AM radio has gone the way of the dodo bird. There is no more AM in Singapore left. The reason for that is, like I said, Singapore is very small. So if you have, let's say, a 3,000-watt FM transmitter or a 1,000-watt FM transmitter, you can reach most of the population. They did have AM or medium wave until maybe 20, 25 years ago, but it was extremely expensive. And for a small city state like Singapore, there is no need. There is just no need. Now, in Singapore, I was able to pick up, let's say, AM stations from Philippines, from Indonesia, from Malaysia, as well as some other neighboring countries, especially at nighttime. So, you know, like I said, it's small, there's no need. And also, in Singapore, even finding an AM radio is extremely difficult. All cars now have FM radios. You can find some AM radios in, say, some of the tourist shops, but that's about it. The other thing now in Singapore that they're also using is DAB, which is digital audio broadcasting. So all the stations are also broadcasting on DAB at the same time. Now, in many countries, we've seen them, you know, DAB stations come on and they say, okay, on this date, you have to switch off FM. Singapore is handling it differently. They know that some people are not going to want to buy and spend the money to buy a DAB receiver. So they're keeping the two going and gradually phasing it out. When is that going to happen? It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen in the year after that. But probably starting around 2017, 2018, they will be phasing out FM gradually, not in one big swoop.
So they're very progressive as far as technology goes.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, radio in Singapore, your average listener, unlike, let's say, other radio markets, most people in Singapore, if you look at the ratings, listen in their car or listen in the morning when they get up, which is, you know, in Singapore, if you are driving, it's important that you listen to the radio because you need to find the traffic. And Singapore's streets can be very congested at times. When I was there and I was coming back from the BBC Far East Relay Station, a journey that should have taken 35 minutes took double that time because of the hour that I was traveling. And Tam Lan Sun, who works at the BBC, who was giving me a lift back, he was going from one traffic station to the next. And traffic reports in Singapore are even longer than, let's say, you'd have in Vancouver. I mean, in Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto, you only have a few arteries, main arteries. In Singapore, they go through practically all of them. So a traffic report takes a little longer, and then you think, oh, maybe it's changed in the last 3 minutes, so you tune to another radio station to see what they're saying.
That is unique.
Sharia Moore, Elaine Elias here on the Midday Lush, taking us a time of 11:50. Now, coming up over the next few hours, we have got some cool fashion finds to share with you. First of all, the visor, something I would never think is cool, let alone fashionable, but there is a label out there that's going to change everyone's perception of the visor with their new release of a line of great accessories, and also how you can have a very nice customized gear for your next aquatic adventure. I'll tell you more about that here on the Midday Lush. But first, please do enjoy this one from Scooter and Eyes Without a Face.
mendung. Dari nyampa 179, Pak Cik Dino kita nih. Selamat pagi ya. Selamat pagi Pak Cik. Pak Cik udah tersenyum tuh belum? Kalau belum tersenyum sikit lah. Biar handsome macam tuh eh. Macam Ziana Zain. Kok Ziana Zain? Cuk Ziana Zain cewek. Oke, katanya cuma mau tanya sikit aja, oke? Okay? Semalam saya ada dengar Anda kata jahat dia tapi baik dia. Apa saya emang jahat orangnya? Tak kena budi. Saya jahat ke? Oh, tak ada, tak ada. Mungkin Pak Cik salah dengar je. 987 Only
Now, you mentioned that there is a commercial aspect to MediaCorp, mm-hmm. but it is still essentially owned by the state. So is there an issue with media censorship?
Media censorship in Singapore is very different. Now, you cannot compare it, let's say, to China. You cannot compare it to the former Soviet Union. You cannot compare it, let's say, to Vietnam or North Korea. It's very, very different. Now, MediaCorp does not have, let's say, censors that sit there and say, okay, all news scripts and everything that goes on air has to pass my way and I have to check it and then you can go on air with it. No, it doesn't work that way. People know where to draw the line. And what is extremely important is when I was there on one of the English news stations, I did hear criticism from the broadcaster who was on air against the government. But what is extremely important in Singapore is if you are going to, let's say, criticize government policy, you need to make sure that it is absolutely 100% all the dots, all the I's are dotted. There are absolutely no mistakes. Not one mistake in the story. Hmm. And the reason is if there's one slight mistake, then you get in trouble. So when I was there, I was listening to a piece that was criticizing a social program of the Singapore government. I don't remember which one it was. And the editorial was very harsh. And when I met somebody from MediaCorp and asked him, I said, you know, I heard this piece on the air and everybody talks about media censorship in Singapore. He says, well, we have media censorship, but we know what line not to cross.
Now, with all the stations in Singapore and a population just around 5 million, how on earth do they make money?
How do they make money? That's a very interesting question. Well, when I met the people at MediaCorp, and I asked them that same question, and they said to me, well, we're kind of lucky, they said, because we could have, let's say, we have an ad rep, right? And he's selling advertising, let's say, on 13 radio stations. He's selling them on all radio stations. And it's just called being very aggressive. So if, let's say, they go to a business or they go to a company, okay, like I'll give you an example. Mercedes-Benz in Singapore. Mercedes-Benz in Singapore have radio commercials as well as TV commercials. The radio commercials are in 8 languages.
Wow.
Running on all 13 radio stations. And you have different ad reps that are getting, you know, the advertising for these different radio stations. And there's a lot of competition. So you can have one guy that comes along and he says, look, we broadcast in Tamil and English. Can you come to us? This is the rate we'll give you. And we'll give you this spot, this spot, this spot. And you'll get this amount of time and this amount of time and this amount of time. And we'll have the announcer say, oh, by the way, I'm looking to buy a new car. I think I'm going to buy a Mercedes-Benz. So it's it's very competitive and it's very... it's very aggressive, more so than, let's say, in North America or in Europe. I mean, it's highly aggressive. I was told that at MediaCorp, sales reps' days are 6 days a week, sometimes 7. They begin at, say, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and they don't end until midnight.
Goodness, that would be against some labor laws in other parts of the world, that's for sure. So then how big is MediaCorp?
Well, MediaCorp is a huge corporation. Now, if you look at the corporation itself, it's huge because they have roughly around 2,000 employees, give or take a few here or there. But as I said earlier, underneath the MediaCorp umbrella are 11 subsidiaries. 11 subsidiaries. So that also includes the people that are working under those, you know, in those subsidiaries. And some of the subsidiaries also have subsidiaries.
That's big.
There's only like just over 5 million people. How the hell do they do it? but they do. But like I said, MediaCorp is in the business of making money. As I told somebody there, I said, you know, organizations like the CBC and some others can probably learn something on how to run a public radio service and television service by, you know, making it commercially viable. Because in Singapore, ratings are important. So in Singapore, if you're on the air and you have, let's say, a show that isn't doing well or a time slot that isn't doing well, it's canceled. Because what's the point of keeping it if it doesn't generate money?
Right. Well, makes sense. Thanks very much for this very fascinating insight into state or local radio, rather, in Singapore. Finally, we'd like to welcome a new member to the team, Dan Hensley of Shortwave America, who now joins us with a propagation report. Dan, welcome to Media Network Plus. What do you have for us?
Paulette, I have the weekly propagation forecast for August 16th through August 22nd, 2011. For the UTC dates, radio flux 10.7 centimeters, the planetary A index, and the largest KP index. 2011, August 16, the 10-point centimeter radio flux was predicted for 90, the planetary A index at 12, and the largest KP index at 4. For 2011, August 17th, the 10.7 centimeter flux is 95, A index at 12, KP index at 4. For August 18th, 10.7 centimeter, 98, A index 10, KP index 3. For August 19th, the 10.7 centimeter flux was 98, A index at 10, KP index at 3. For the 20th, we have 98, 5, and 2. For August 21st, we have 100, 12, and 3. For August 22nd, we have 105, 8, and 3. During the month of August early on, we had one major solar flare, which affected HF propagation, pushing the maximum usable frequency into higher frequency ranges and effectively canceling out minimum frequency usage ranges. As of 15 August, there were two coronal holes detected. Only one sunspot was noticed in its forming stage as of 15 August. Due to the combined fluctuation of the A and KP indexes along with unpredictable sunspot activity, we can expect propagation conditions to quickly change from being quiet to being unsettled, making overall propagation conditions hit or miss.
Thanks, Dan. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. If you wish to contact us, our email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Again, that's mnp@pcjmedia.com. And to listen to this show again and download all past editions, check out our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. So on behalf of Keith Perron, who will be back at PCJ Studios next week, I'm Paulette McQuarrie in Vancouver, Canada, saying so long and 73s to you all.
जीवन के सफर में रही मिलते हैं बिछड़ जाने को और दे जाते हैं यादें तन्हाई में तड़पाने को ओ हो ओ हो ओ हो ओ हो